Okay, next malach over here is a malach that's called Seveah. So we finished basically the bread preparation to a certain extent. Now it's going into the garment preparation, preparing wool. So a lot of them we're not getting into spinning combing and spinning, you know, putting the stuff on the loom. We're not getting into that stuff. But coloring is a very... Tzvia, which is coloring or dyeing a product, is because in the Mishkan, what they used to do is they used to dye the wool and the animal skins for the various things that they needed. You know, they dyed the tcheles, the purple wool from the chalazon fish. They would have to create dye. So any type of coloring was biblically forbidden. Now, the definition of the melacha of coloring, of dyeing, is when you enhance or beautify something by adding color to it. Which means, in other words, like this. There's a malacha called writing. Writing is not coloring. Even if you write with a marker, let's say, write two letters with a marker, it's not the malacha of coloring. It's the malacha of writing. Because you're not making the paper nicer. The color is just for the sake of the letters. But if somebody would color the paper... That is the malach of coloring, which beautifies and enhances the thing itself by adding the color to it. Now, biblically, dyeing, coloring, is only forbidden when it's permanent. Okay? Now, the problem is, there's a big argument in halacha, what is permanent dyeing? Is even if it lasts for the Shabbos, for the whole 24 hours of Shabbos, is that many poskim say that's called permanent and would be biblically forbidden. Other poskim say, no, if it's just a few hours or even 24 hours, it's not called permanent dying. The bottom line is, it really doesn't matter because it's still rabbinically forbidden. Even temporary coloring, temporary dying is still rabbinically forbidden. Therefore, for instance, even if it's going to, let's say, you put color on a surface and it's going to fade away in a little while, it's still called coloring. For that matter, on the skin or on your body, if you color, even though it doesn't last for ages, it's still nevertheless the concept of coloring, even though it's still rabbinically forbidden, not biblically forbidden.
Did they decide on it because the Beit HaMikdash
in the Mishkan, they colored. No, it was permanent color. When they dyed the wool, when they dyed the various different...
What did temporary come from?
Rabbinic.
Why?
Because Rabbanan said, if we allow you to do temporary, you'll end up doing it permanent. Like all the other rabbinic decrees, right. Now, it's self-understood that if you ruin something by coloring it, it's not a problem. For instance... You make kiddush, yeah? You finish kiddush, your hands are full of wine, you take a napkin and you clean your hands. So now, the napkin turned purple. That's not called coloring the napkin. It's called ruining the napkin. You're going to throw it out. Even if it's a cloth napkin, let's say it's a white cloth napkin, okay? And you still... But not only wine, I mean, whatever it may be. It could be orange, yellow, whatever colors you're going to be using. And you dry your hands on the napkin or clean your hands on the napkin, that's not called coloring the napkin. It's called ruining the napkin. You need to clean it afterwards. The only time it might be a problem, if it's a dark, let's say wine. Let's say you have a wine-colored cloth napkin. And when you cut... To wipe your hands off with wine, you're enhancing the color, so that would be forbidden.
You're really soiling.
I understand, but then you say, really, if you look at it, you're enhancing the color. I'm not saying for sure.
If you didn't wash it, it would
I understand. It would eventually get ruined. But that we're going to get into that soiling tissues, or whatever it is. But a cloth, even. We'll get into that. So I'm just saying the concept is you have to do constructive coloring, not destructive coloring. You can't paint a wall or door on Shabbos. Even, let's say, if you enhance the color Let's say you painted a door white. And now, before Shabbos. And now on Shabbos, you paint the door another coat of white. So even though you're painting the same color, but you're enhancing the color of the first coat, so you're making a second coat. So that would be considered coloring on Shabbos. You can't color any material at all, whether it's leather, hair, wigs. You can't dye hair on Shabbos either. What?
A person gets a cut. You want to put a band-aid, isn't that coloring the band-aid?
Yeah, but you're ruining it. Again, it's the same point. You're ruining the band-aid. You're ruining the napkin. You're ruining the whatever it is. Blood on it is not going to make it better. You're ruining it. What? Oh, that's a very good question. Now, you make tea on Shabbos, or you make taste like Kool-Aid on Shabbos, whatever. Okay, you take powder and you so lucheda, or somebody puts ketchup on challah on Shabbos, or on fish, or whatever, or horseradish paste, whatever you want to do.
That's
huh? That's a biblical positive mitzvah, therefore it pushes off the negative mitzvah of Naira. Understand? Really, the biblical mitzvah is cholent, not fish. Anyway, there's a famous rule in halacha which is extremely relevant, and that is Ein tzvia ba'oichlin. By food, there's no coloring. There's no din of coloring by food. That's the Shulchan Aruch from the Gemara. There's no concept of coloring. Therefore, you can make tea even though you're coloring the water, coffee, horseradish, whatever it may be.
When, white wine, you have white wine, but for kosher, purple wine, so you have adopted putting in red wine to make it purple.
It's very interesting, that last point that you said. There are opinions I saw that say, what happens, you might want to make wine red because red wine is better, especially Pesach. So you put in white wine almost to the top, and then you add red wine because you want to make it red. So I've seen Poskin that write that you're not supposed to do that. Yeah, but the pearl, according to Al Rebbe, sure doesn't make sense. According to everybody else, it doesn't make sense. Even according to that opinion, if you want to be Mahmer, if you pour in the red wine first, and then you're adding the white wine. No, you're not. Here, you have a cup of wine, you want to make it red.
Pink.
Or pink, whatever. Here you have wine, and you're adding wine to it. It's a different concept. Even though, according to the rule, Ein Tzvia Ba'Eichlin, it shouldn't be an issue either, because it's food. It doesn't matter whether your intent is to color the food. You know, it doesn't matter.
Does it make a difference on Shabbat which kind of wine you use?
It's preferable to use red wine, generally speaking, unless if the white wine is better. It's a better wine, or you like it better.
Just to clarify, even if it's meant to be decorative, right? Let's say you make a plate of fruit, for example, and for whatever reason you like to garnish it with a certain colored item.
Not a problem.
So you could color it on the side, obviously, it's just food, just for decorative purpose.
I'll give you an example. You have egg salad. Some people want to put paprika over it to make it, not for taste, someone just color it red a little bit. So again, that's not a problem because you're doing it. There's no food coloring by food, so it's not an issue.
Obviously, the food coloring you're saying is permissible. That's actually a food coloring.
Food coloring would be permissible if you're putting into food.
Yeah, food writing is okay.
Huh?
Food writing.
Writing?
Happy birthday.
No, that's writing.
Yeah, that's right.
If you wrote it before Shabbos, can you eat it? Because it's food, really. It's not really lettuce.
What?
You write happy birthday before Shabbos on a cake.
The problem is cutting it.
Can't cut it.
It's not really words. It's really.
It's still temporary written, temporary writing, temporary cutting.
Can't cut it.
It's not biblically forbidden, it's rabbinically forbidden.
But if it's on a cookie, you just take the cookie off and do whatever you want.
Yeah, what they usually do in the frum places, they take. It depends on the bakery. Sometimes they'll take a little piece of cardboard. And they'll smear chocolate and then they'll write up. If it's a real bakery, they'll take chocolate and
cookie.
Okay.
We're gonna get the letters, right?
Yeah. Machachin is my Kim Lag out.